If you have your Bibles, I want you to take them with me, and I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, as you turn to it, let me ask you this question. How many of you are still enjoying the book of Hebrews? All right, the reason I ask that is because, man, if you notice in the life group, this is 30 weeks that we've been in the book of Hebrews. Now, we took a little bit of break over Christmas, but it's 30 weeks, and I'm wondering, man, are they getting tired of Hebrews yet? I've been enjoying going through it, and I know many of you have enjoyed going through it. And thank you. I want to say thank you to those who were, shall I say, patient with me last Sunday as I spoke on the whole area of discipline. I have received some comments afterwards saying thank you, Don, for addressing it. Thank you for the humble way in which you addressed it, and all that kind of stuff. As last week we got practical and spoke about God's disciplining and our disciplining of children. If you want to listen to that, that's on the website. You can go there and listen to it there, concerning what did Don say about disciplining my children and what should I do and how should I. I tried to get practical as much as I could. Now, you weren't on the tape. It's not going to show because there were times in which I walked off of the pulpit to give you my understanding. And there's other times I stood in the pulpit and said, this is what God says, because I really want to distinguish between what God says and what I say. There's a big difference, isn't there? You can say amen to that. There's a big difference between what I say and what God says. And prayerfully, what I say is what God says, as long as I follow that. So this morning, we're going to pick it up at chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Now, a passage I could go on, but I don't have a lot of time to present it, so I'm going to just limit myself to what I can. But I can say you can pray for Ryan as next week he gets to look at the whole mountain of Zion and mountain of Jerusalem. You know, Ryan's got his work cut out for him this week. When he asked me, do you want me to continue? And I said, what do you want to do? You want to continue? Yeah, I'll continue. I says, okay, good. Because this is a good passage to cut your teeth on. And so Ryan's going to work on that next week. But this morning I want to look at how do we respond to discipline. And I want to ask the question, how many of you remember a time when you were taken to the woodshed? All right? You know what I'm talking about? When your dad or your mom decided that your behavior was not such that it needed to be and that you needed to be taken and shown a little bit of a parental authority and you were taken to the woodshed. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody remember those days? All right. We talked about that last week in the whole area of God's disciplining us as children. And how many of you looked forward to those opportunities? Not many of us, I'm assuming, all right? When you knew Dad was saying, let's go for a walk, or when you knew Dad was ready to exercise his parental authority and some disciplining, generally it was not a pleasant time. In fact, if you look at verse 11, you'll see the writer of Hebrews says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but rather is painful. Amen? All right, so we see that even the writer of Hebrews reminds us of the fact that to be disciplined is not a pleasant experience. But this morning, what we want to consider is the reaction to God's discipline. In other words, we've been taking the past 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we looked at how God disciplines us. Last week, we looked at how God disciplines in relationship to our children and the discipline that we need to then exercise with our children. But this morning, I want to go back again. I want to go back and ask the question, what do we do when God disciplines us? How do we respond? For we come to recognize, and in the passage I'll show you this morning, will be the fact that we can either, as a result of God's discipline, become bitter, or we can become what? Better. We can either see what God is doing and the misery that we're going through in our life and the suffering that we are having to go through, and we can see it as God trying us, as God disciplining us, as God making us a better believer, a better follower in having to trust Him. Or we can become bitter. Bitter towards God and bitter towards others. For we see here in verse 14. All right, or verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So I want to talk this morning about how do we see God's discipline as something that makes us better and not becoming bitter towards what God does to us. That's what we want to look at. I'm going to pray and then we're going to jump into the message this morning. So let's pray. Father, this morning, I ask that you would, by your Spirit, give wisdom and direction to your word that you've given to us. And Father, may your Spirit direct my thoughts and my attentions as he has this past week now to this passage. And may it now direct my mouth and my lips as I bring forth the word. For Father, may it not be just a message that comes from a human man, but may it be a message that's empowered by your Holy Spirit through a human vessel. And I pray this in your name and for your glory, in the name of Jesus, I pray. I ask it in his name. Amen. All right. When God disciplines us, what do we need to do so that we will become better and not become bitter? That's the question we want to ask as we look at the passage before us. So the first one, all right, when disciplined by God, we need to, I put the word strengthen up. We need to strengthen up. If you look at verse 12, or actually I'm going to back up to verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, how many of you want to be trained by it? How many of you want to have a harvest of righteousness and peace and be trained by it? That's the ultimate goal of God's discipline, is that we would be trained by it and as well by God. But yeah, our response to it, however, isn't always beneficial. We see the benefits of a harvest of righteousness, of peace, and of training. But also we can understand that it's not pleasant. And who wants to go through it? And why do I have to do this? And why are you doing this to me, God? And so I want to try to look at this so that we can produce a harvest of righteousness and peace and be trained by that which God goes through. So the first thing we need to do is strengthen up. Strengthen up. Now, how do we do that? I've got four ways that we can gain strength even when we're going through discipline. All right. Number one, rest up. This is very practical. There are times in which when you go through difficulties and when you go through hardship and when you go through a very trying time, how many of you say, man, I feel like I'm tired all the time? And you begin to recognize, then you look back and you say, well, no wonder why. Did you see what you've gone through? Did you see everything that's happened in your life lately? Is there any reason why you're not tired? It's not just that you got too busy of a schedule sometimes. Sometimes it's because God has brought things into our lives to train us, to discipline us, to help us to understand. He's working in our lives to bring about us, make us into the diamonds that he wants us to be. And so there's a sense in which many times I believe we need to rest up. Now to do this, I want you to think back to the Old Testament. You remember the guy by the name of Elijah the prophet? Elijah was the one who goes up into Mount Carmel, and at Mount Carmel there's 450 prophets of Baal, the false god prophet, and there's Elijah going against 450. What are the odds? And Elijah says, okay, God, it's you and me. Now, You guys build your altar, put your offering on it. I'll build my offering, put my offering on it. And then we'll cry out to the gods to see who the real God is. You remember the story? They cry out to God. They cut themselves. They do their dance. Elijah kind of pokes a little fun at them. And then ultimately Elijah pours water on the altar, you know, more water on the altar. Now there are those skeptics who say, well, what he really wasn't pouring on was water. He was really pouring gasoline on it because it caught on fire. And like, no, I don't think so. Well, then unless you want to believe the miracle that God, that somehow Elijah invented gasoline and found it on the mountain to pour it on it. All right. Anyways, God calls down fire from heaven to catch himself on fire. And Elijah, great God, look at what happened. But if you remember what happens, Elijah was a man who could take on 400 prophets, but he couldn't take on one woman. For Jezebel says, Elijah, I want you to know that you're a dead man. And when Jezebel says you're a dead man, you worry. And so Elijah runs. And Elijah runs. And Elijah runs. And finally the angel of God comes to Elijah. And what does he tell Elijah to do? Elijah rests. And then Elijah eats. And then finally God shows Elijah the reality of the fact that, Elijah, you may think you're all alone. Elijah, what's your problem? I'm the only one. And God says, Elijah, you don't realize I've got 7,000 remnants. So there's a sense in which when we go through God's discipline, you can get the idea, I'm the only one. Why is me? Why do I have to go through this? And God says there's times in which, you know what you need to do? You need to take time to just rest. Secondly, you need to pray. Rest up, pray up. Where does our strength come from? God. And if our strength comes from God, what do we need to do to receive it? Ask. And so you need to take time to pray up in order to be strengthened up. You need to come to God to find His strength in order to endure through the discipline that He gives us. For we are strengthened by God in the times of needs that we have. Thirdly, you need to read up. What am I talking about? Okay? Don't just go to a psychology book on how do I go through difficulties and what do I do for troubles. Let's see what God says about it, right? You need to go to the Bible and see what God says. It may be go to the Psalms. Read about David's difficulties, David's hardships. Go to the Scriptures and find out what God says. So that as you go through discipline of God, you can come to God and find discernment from the Word of God that can help strengthen your hands and help your weak knees. And lastly, I said, get up. Rest up, pray up, read up, and get up. What do I mean by get up? I mean get up and go get some help. Come to church where other people can encourage you, where other people can strengthen you, where other people can support you. Find a small group. And my prayer would be for everyone here. In fact, I'd ask you to raise your hand, but it might be embarrassed to you, but do you have someone that you can go to when life just doesn't make sense? Someplace you can go to be encouraged by others, to have other people speak wisdom into your life, and to give you encouragement and discernment in the difficult time you're going through. So how are we strengthened by God? We're strengthened by getting rest, by praying, by reading, and by getting together with other Christians to be encouraged and uplifted and built up. So when we're disciplined by God, we need to what? Strengthen up. Gain the strength. Right? Verse 12, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Secondly, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. I put down, strengthen up, then straighten out. Straighten out. Now, as I was preparing the message, and as I was contemplating the whole understanding of the discipline of God and going through the discipline of God, the only way that I could really try to understand this passage and personally apply it to my life was to think back when I was a child and my father disciplined me. All right? My father was a very strong disciplinarian. All right? My father was not afraid, all right, to place, you know, his hand on my backside if I needed it. Now, that usually didn't happen as much as this. I'll just kind of give you a little bit of sideline for myself. When I grew up with my father would, if I didn't do something right, he would come home and he would get angry and he would basically say, what is the matter with you? Didn't I tell you to do this? Did you not hear me? Why didn't you understand? Did you get done what I said? And of course, I would be like, no. But you need to understand that for me, whenever somebody got in trouble, and even if I was the one that got in trouble, it's quirky. I just have to confess it. I would laugh at it. I would smile. So when my dad is yelling at me, telling me what he's going to do to me, and I begin to smirk a smile, his response often to me was, you wipe that smile off your face or I'll wipe it off for you. Now, that's what I remember of my father's discipline. And I know that when I went through discipline, I needed to what? Straighten out my life. I need to get things straight. And I need to get it straight with God. And so we see when God's discipline, we need to straighten out our paths for our feet to walk upon, to make it easier. So the lame may not be disabled. So what do I need to straighten out? How do I need to straighten out? Number one, I put down here, remove the obstacles. Hebrews 12. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us so we can run with perseverance the race before us. We need to remove the obstacles that are in our way so that we can follow the path that God has for us. The obstacles to our faith? I don't believe that. Can't believe it. Why would you do this, God? Or the obstacles of our sin. The things that we do. The sin that we cause. The difficulty that comes our way because we have sinned. And we need to remove the obstacles that would get in the way of us running the race that Hebrews 12 talks about at the beginning so that we can complete the race that God has given to us. So we need to make level paths for your feet. Remove the obstacles. Secondly, renew the course. It was almost a month ago now. It seems like it was only a couple. How many of you are like I am and you realize that today is the 15th or the 16th of June? We're already through June. And before we know it, summer's going to be over with. Anybody else saying that? I'm like, gosh, it's the 16th of June already. All right, now Dennis and Marcy aren't here, I could say, and they're still planting corn, you know. So we recognize that time is going by faster than what we would understand or what we would know. But about a month ago, Ryan spoke at the baccalaureate address, and I told Ryan, you can pick out the passage, but don't do Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How many of you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And what will He do? And He will, Hebrews 12, what? Make your path straight. So we see again here that as we look at how do we make our path straight, we renew the course. We set our heart and our mind upon the path that God has established for us. Sometimes the path is easy, sometimes the path is difficult, but we have to come back that says, I'm not going to go my own way, do my own thing. I'm going to follow the course that God has established for me. And then the last one I put on here, straighten out, restore your focus. Again, I go back to Hebrews 12:1. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. If you know the song, as I kind of started there, turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his glorious face, and what'll happen? Anybody remember it? Come on. Those of you who love hymns, help me out here. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So we need to straighten out the pathway. We need to be able to turn our focus back upon God, to fix our eyes back upon Jesus, and to restore our focus as we seek to run the race set out before us. Now, I didn't even get a chance, Sam. Can I embarrass you just for a minute? Did you run the thing set yesterday? The steamboat? Thank you. You did? In the rain? In the pouring rain? Were you one of those guys that said, I'm glad it's cool rather than warm, even though I'm getting soaking wet? All right, my point is what? All right, how many of us are going to say, yeah, I'll go run 15,000 kilometers in the rain? No, I'm not doing that to say Sam is crazy. I'm doing that to say Sam is what? Disciplined. Sam has disciplined himself to the point where he likes to run in the rain. Maybe he doesn't like to, but he's willing to run in the rain. Renew your focus. When it's raining in your life, come back to the reason why God's allowing you to run the race. So we strengthen up, straighten out. Thirdly, step forward. Let's move forward. Verse 14, make every effort. What's it say? Make every effort. I think the New English Version or the English Standard Version says strive for peace. Make every effort to live in peace with all men. We need to step forward in peace. How many of you find that a little bit difficult in these days in which we live? How many of you say, it seems like it's kind of crazy out there. It seems like this world doesn't know what's happening, and it seems like this world is going in the wrong direction, and it seems like this world's got everything backwards. Any amens? But here it talks about living at peace with all men. Now, let me take just a moment to jump to some other verses. What I want you to do is turn back with me to Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, right? Strive, go for it. Press forward, press on. I urge then, first of all, that all requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for, anybody want to help me out? What? Everyone. Hebrews, strive for peace with all men. Timothy, request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Now, do I need to go back to Jesus? What's Jesus say to do for your enemies? Love your enemies, pray for your enemies, okay? But still at 1 Timothy 2, for kings and all those in authority that we may, what? Live peaceful and quiet lives. Now let me ask you the question. Now my history isn't real good. Who was probably the emperor at the time in which Paul was writing to Timothy in 60 AD? I think it might have been a guy by the name of Nero. Okay? Do you remember what Nero was doing with Christians? Letting them on fire to burn his, you know, for fire in his garden. And Paul says, pray for them? That we might live peaceful and quiet lives? Now, I don't want to get political. In fact, let me step over here so I don't get political, but I am going to. Okay, now, how many of you feel like you need to pray for President Trump? Now, let me tell you, every hand should be up, right? Let me come over to this side. How many of you feel like we need to pray for Governor Pritzker? Now, I'm not saying your prayers might not be different. And I don't mean pray that he dies, or I don't mean pray that, okay? All right, the country western song, I pray that, you know, a flower falls on your head and all those kind of stuff in the country western song. Someday when Janine straightens me out, I'll figure that one out because she knows that one better than I do. But I'll pray for you, I think is the name of it. It's country western song. Anyways, all right? But what do we need to do? Live at peace. Now, I want you to turn one more place, and then I'm going to get back to the text of my message. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 17, and then 18. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Don't you wish you could teach that to your kids? Well, he hit me first. I just hit her back. But there's a sense in which do we not as adults also feel the same way? They didn't start it. I didn't start it. They did. I'm just going to finish it. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Now, verse 18. If it is possible, if you have your own Bible, you can underline that. If it's possible, do what? As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Is it always possible? Sometimes it can get a little difficult, can't it? But as far as it has to do with you, live at peace with everyone. Now, I could take you to one more passage in 2 Peter, but I'm not going to take the time to do that. I think I have it in my... You can just write in your notes. All right? I'll find it here in a minute. And you can write in your notes. All right. 1 Peter 3:10. You can go there. All right? Another one that would have done it, but I'm not going to take the time to do it. Okay? So in other words, step forward as far as it has to do with you. Live at peace with everyone. Pray for those who are in authority and your enemies. And let your conduct in this world be such that the world looks at us and sees the love that we have for others. Now, I'd have to say that in many ways, the world looks at the church today and doesn't see that. We need to step forward in peace and live at peace with all people, whether they agree with us, whether they disagree with us. Learn what it is to live in peace, but also learn what it is to live in holiness. Hebrews chapter 12 continues. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, we need to understand this from two different areas. Number one, first of all, we need to understand that God has set us apart as holy. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and the forgiveness of the sin that he has granted unto us through faith in Christ, we have been made holy, set apart unto him. So there's a sense in which we can just say, live in accordance with what's already happened in your life. My dad would often say to me, you're a blazing, live like one. And in essence, that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Live in holiness But on the other side of that, it means the fact that we need to live our lives in such holiness, in saying no to ungodliness and to the things of the world, that we live a holy life set apart unto God. So if you're younger, that means live different than everybody else. They want to do it. They want to try it. They want to encourage you. Titus says, learn to say no to ungodly living. You need to learn what it is to say no. To step forward in holiness. No, I will not defile myself. What did Daniel say to the people of Babylon when they gave them the best food? You know, a steak dinner. Actually, I should say a ham dinner. Pork chop dinner. And Daniel says, no, I will not defile myself with the king's food. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bow down and worship this altar. And they said what? No, we will not do that. It defiles our God. And then Daniel, here, bow down and worship me. And Daniel says, no. Then into the lion's den. We need to know what it is to raise our kids to be able to say no in the time of Babylon. And that means we have to say no as we step forward in peace and in holiness. Now let me get to the fourth one. And with this I will close up. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness no one will see the Lord. Verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. The last point I put is settle down. Again, my thinking in this as I put together these points were the very fact of, you know what? When I'm going through difficult times, there are times in which I need to be strengthened. There are times in which my path needs to be straightened. There are times in which I need to take a step. I need to do something. There are times in which I need to just settle down and understand God's working in my life. Settle in on God's grace. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Let me ask you, is it not easy when we are going through difficult times to wonder why God is doing this? To question God, am I the only one? Why do I have to go through this? Why is this happening to me? God, why are you doing this? This shouldn't happen. For there is a sense in which we in American Christianity believe God's job is to make us, what? Happy. And when we're not happy, God's not doing his job. And we need to settle in on God's grace. Now, this happens in two ways. First of all, when you're going through difficult times, ask yourself, has God not been gracious unto me? And the answer is, yes. So if I'm going through a difficult time and God is disciplining me, and the scripture of Hebrews says, for our own good, do we need to understand the grace of God in the midst of discipline? Do your kids need to understand your love in the midst of their discipline? Yes. So don't look at what you're going through thinking, oh my goodness, God, you must have neglected me. Why am I going through this? Where are you at? Why are you allowing this? Don't miss the grace of God. Or even in the difficult times, God's grace is still sufficient. For that's the second part. Do you remember Paul was going through a little bit of a trouble? It was called a thorn in the flesh. It was Satan's buffeting him. Whether it be a physical ailment, probably was. Whether it be eyesight, whether it be pain in the back, or what it was, we don't know. But it was sufficient enough and severe enough that three times Paul asked God to remove it. And God's response was what? No. Why not? My grace is sufficient for you. For even in our weakness, God's grace is sufficient. And so settle in on God's grace. Know that even in times of difficulty, God is still being gracious. Secondly, I put down settle on and let go. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now, there was a sense in which I could preach the whole sermon just on that one verse. Because when God is disciplining us, we can become bitter, right? Maybe you've disciplined your children, had them stomp their feet and kick at you and say, I hate you for what you're doing to me. And sometimes we can be the same way. And we have to learn to let the bitterness go. To let go of the bitterness that we have. Whether it be towards God, or sometimes that bitterness ends up being demonstrated towards others. Bitterness can be seen in jealousy or envy. Bitterness can be seen in anger or hatred. You see, the root of bitterness produces what? Fruit of bitterness. If you don't cut the root, you won't get the fruit. So you can turn to Galatians 5 and look at the things that it talks about there of malice and slander and gossip and anger versus peace and patience and the goodness of God and the, as it talks about the fruit of the Spirit of God. And so we have to let the root be cut. Let the bitterness go that causes trouble and defiles many. And then lastly, settle on saying no. Again, I touched on this with the whole understanding of holiness, but I want to look at this just for a moment with Esau. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau. The understanding there of godless means profane, worldly. One who makes their decisions based upon the things of the world rather than the things of God. For if you remember Esau, came in from hunting, was hungry. Jacob was making a nice pot of stew, and he sells his birthright for what? A bowl of soup. Now, I do need to tell you that I wrestled with this passage. Okay, I wrestled with it a couple of ways, and I don't want to get into it. We'll get into it in the small group. Let me ask you, he sold his birthright for a pot of stew, but how did he lose God's blessing? Help me out on this. What happened? Esau comes to Jacob and says, bless me, Jacob. Jacob says, okay, go out and kill some wild game and come back and make me a stew. Make me some wild game meal. Remember the story? All right. What happens? If I get it right, Rachel, right? Jacob and Rachel. Anyways, I get them. All right. Rachel says, Isaac, all right, I have a job for you. Here, dress up like Esau. I'll make you a pot of stew and go and, what happened? Steal the blessing from Esau. So I read this passage. I'm like, wait a minute. Esau sold his birthright, yes, for a pot of stew. But the blessing was stolen from him by Jacob. And then Romans chapter 9 tells us, for God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Again, and you come to this passage and it says, don't be like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son, which he did do. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. So Hebrew seems to indicate because he sold his birthright, he lost his blessing. And he went on to say he could not bring it about with no change of mind, no matter what he did. Though he sought the blessing with tears, he missed the blessing of God. Let me say this. In the time of discipline of God, we need to be careful that we do not come to a point where I recognize where we're not able to go back, where we regret what we did. Esau came to a point of regret, didn't receive what God had promised him. And we need to learn what it is to say no. And the other thing I said here was Esau gave up what he could have for what he wanted now. We need to understand and learn what it is in times of discipline to not give up what God has promised us out of disappointment or discouragement at the time in which we're going through it. So we need to understand that we need to settle down on God's grace. Don't let a root of bitterness grow up among us. And don't become immoral or godless like Esau, who was willing to give it all up for the immediate rather than waiting. May God help us in our times of discipline to know what it is to trust Him and to continue to follow in Him. Amen? Amen.